podcast brought to you by the Triad Network. This podcast is designed to share trending topics occurring within the world and our communities and bring them a behavioral and mental health perspective.
Welcome to Behavioral Health Today. I'm your host, Dr. Graham Taylor, and today I'm joined by Owen Marcus and Lucas Crump from Everyman. Everyman is a men's wellness organization whose focus is to help men transform their lives by harnessing the power of their emotions and deepening their connection within themselves and with other men. Owen has over 20 years' experience working with men's groups, including his work with Everyman. He is also the author of men's self-help book, Grow Up, A Man's Guide to Masculine Emotional Intelligence. And Lucas is the CEO and the founder of Everyman. Together, Lucas and Owen have led a global movement that brings men together to develop their emotional skill sets, enabling deeper connections within themselves and with other men. Owen, Lucas, welcome to our show today.
Thank you, Graham.
Thanks, Graham.
Great to have you both here. You know, Everyman has become a global movement supporting thousands of groups to bring men together. And I know that it originated back in 2016. Give us kind of just a brief history about the needs that you both saw existing for men that led to the creation of Everyman.
Yeah, I think it's a great question, Graham. And I would actually pass it to Owen because kind of the seeds of Everyman were actually planted long before Everyman became Everyman in 2016.
I'd imagine.
Yeah, I got involved out of the work I've been doing with men and women back in 95 when I had a clinic in Scottsdale. And I started to realize that not only was there an interest in men supporting men, but there was a need for a new kind of model to do that. And so 17 years ago, I took everything I'd learned throughout all the other things I'd done and said, look, I'm going to create a model that I want to be a part of that, you know, I wish I had when I was sort of growing up as a young man and even as an adult. And asked 11 guys, they all said yes. And that was a 10-point men's group. And that was 17 years ago. Now we've had over 300 men just in those groups. And there are three groups. And we have 40 guys currently in those groups, a documentary film on it. And then 4 years ago, we sort of upped it by turning it into Everyman. But for those 17 years, we've been honing and developing this new model of how to work with men that really goes beyond their traditional model of men's groups and men's work, where we're actually working with men and their emotional skills around relationships, social interaction, and their own awareness about their emotional experience. And what's unique about that is we utilize their awareness of their body to help them become aware of their emotions.
Yeah, that is so good. There's oftentimes a disconnect for men, isn't there? Between their emotions, their bodies, kind of what's going on, that awareness is really a kind of a cornerstone place to start. And I want to get into that more and some of the exercises you guys do to kind of hone into that. I'm curious, as you talk about the origin of this, what challenges within your own manhood were you both having at this time and how this came up in your guys' discussion that allowed you to identify with other men and the need for this program?
Yeah, I can speak to that. In the year 2016, I was 37 years old, living in New York City, having spent 10 years abroad and 7 years in New York City. And I had reached a point in my life where, as a man, I felt like I had accomplished all the things that I was told that I should accomplish as a man in terms of career and financial success and travel and adventure and things like that. But I still felt quite empty inside. And I knew almost on an unconscious level that that had something to do with my relationship with my father growing up, who, you know, suffered from bipolar and created challenges in my own life as a young man in terms of having a father figure. But even beyond that, I just knew that there was a part of me that wasn't being nourished, that wasn't being accessed. And I felt empty as a result. And so I had done all of these things, you know, worked hard and traveled the world, and it still didn't fill it up. And so when I was in 2016 and 37 years old, I had just finally gotten to a point where it was like, you know, I can't go on in this way. I have to go and figure this out for myself. And I think that's indicative of how, you know, men traditionally find us, right?
Yeah.
We may or may not know that something is missing from our lives, but it's not until we arrive at the point where we're where the pain, the suffering, the struggle, the need is great enough that we then decide to take action for our own self and step into it. And so in 2016, that's when I really went exploring and looking for a community, a type of healing, a type of growth beyond the traditional sort of talk-based therapy that I'd done that was going to get to the heart of what was really missing in my life and what I needed the most. And that own exploration is what led me to Owen Marcus and the Everyman community. And so I actually had originally come in as a participant, but then for my own greater desire to really serve my highest purpose as a man, and also a large need that I see in the world around mental and emotional health, was where we said, okay, let's take this to the next level and really figure out a model and a structure that enables this to scale. So,
well, for me, I got into this because I too sort of reached a point of success, but I realized my relationships with women weren't successful. They weren't bad, but they were pretty typical. And I realized with that, maybe there was something to do with relationships with men, and I was resistant to doing that. So I started the first men's group in 1995 in my office. And I'll never forget, sitting in this big room in my office with like 10 guys and just being really scared. And so to get it over with, I went first with what we do, with a quick check-in. And by the end of the meeting, I realized that I was as screwed up as anyone else in that room. And as every guy talked, I got more and more relaxed. And that turned out not to be a great group, but it was enough of a good group where it inspired me to go on from there. And then, with Everyman, it was really, how could I take what I saw was being so successful in Sandpoint, and we were going out in an ad hoc way, teaching other groups around the country how to do what we were doing. How could we really help more men? And I didn't have the skills, and Lucas in particular and some other guys, had the skills, the connections. And, we started in New York City, which is a little bigger than Sandpoint, Idaho. And that really is what launched us. And then we got all this media coverage, which really exploded us.
The one thing I would say that's been really core to where Everyman is at and where it was and where it came from today is it's always been a very values-driven organization. We exist to serve and to be of service to men. And we do that from a place of generosity, not scarcity, from a place of collaboration, not competition. And why we do that is, one, it's inherently, it's intrinsic to us as individuals and the men that come and work and collaborate with us. But it's a model that's not necessarily represented in our culture today. If you think about how organizations and how men tend to operate, we tend to operate from I need to do what's best for me and only focus on myself. Our culture, both in business and in society, to a certain degree incentivizes that. But it's that very incentive that leads us down this path of loneliness and isolation, that takes us out of connection and into disconnection, and really moves us away from what we instinctively need. And so what's really core for us as an organization is we can't do what we do. We can't exist if we don't operate in the world from those values. And, it's been difficult at times, but those values around service and generosity and collaboration have never wavered. And I think that energetically and even collectively in our culture, there's authenticity in that. And that's what brings men in. There's nothing that we do that we wouldn't do ourselves. And there's nothing that we ask men to experience that we haven't experienced ourselves or would go with them.
I love the congruity in that, where we're not asking anybody to do that which we haven't already done ourselves. And that's the authentic piece that I think allows for trust to be felt and built among men. Mm-hmm. It kind of takes one to know one. When we see somebody going before, taking that first step in, boy, it really frees some things up. And I want to get in to your program and what you all take a deep dive into. But first, I want to address what it means to be for men. And so just for fun and prepping for this talk, I Googled, what is a real man? Here's what I got. Check this out. It says, he is a gentleman, a good guy. He should necessarily be respectful, polite, considerate, and very attentive to the needs of the people around him. Moreover, he is typically more action and less talk. Isn't that funny? So what I want to do with you guys right now, I personally, in my work, I experience most men struggling to find a foothold in really knowing what a real man is and what a real man does. So what I want to do with the three of us is to do a little quick 2-minute drill with a couple of questions about manhood. So bear with me. Here's the first question. What characteristics does a real man embody, have you found?
I would say that maybe a core one is the ability to embody safety, because that's a core thing that we do. Because as you know, Graham, no one's going to change unless they feel safe. So the man has to feel safe. And when I work with corporations, I say, look, you want diversity and equity in your corporation, but you got to get the white guys to feel safe if you want them to open up. So it's the safety. And then with the safety, it's connection. And the connection really comes because I can't connect to you, Graham, any more than I'm connected to myself and my own experience. So I think one key word I would add is connection, and that doesn't happen without safety.
So part of a real man and one of the characteristics that he embodies is a connection. Before he does the between work with somebody, he's able to do the within work first within himself. The between work's only going to be as good as the within work that he's done first. So that connection, that understanding, the ability to regulate, modulate, understand, and appreciate that, then that is going to enhance the between work. Let me hold that. Good. So how does a man nowadays, do you find, tend to learn about what being a real man is?
I think they traditionally learn in all the ways that they traditionally learn. But as Lucas was saying, I think more and more men are, and they're not necessarily real cognitive of this, but they're really looking for something different. And then they're looking for something that's not hierarchical or top down. They're looking to learn through experience, which is how we've always learned.
Yes.
Through mentoring, through experience, through the body, through interaction, through trial and error, through challenge. As you know, challenge is big for men. Yes. But that has to be within a context of safety. Some physical and certainly emotional safety to do that. And they're looking for venues where they can explore those kinds of experiences so they can grow, because as good as a relationship might be, our experience is most men don't feel fully emotionally safe to experiment and learn the emotional skills, the more masculine emotional skills that they know on some level they need to learn. And that's what they're finding with our, every man groups, is that they have these opportunities to model, to experiment, to fail, to succeed, to be rewarded, to be held accountable to what they want.
That's really good. Really good.
Just to add to that, I think in terms of how they learn, right now they learn consciously or unconsciously through the portrayal of a definition of masculinity, which is often singular. I have achieved this, or I am going to accomplish this, and now that I've done it, I need to share it with you. So those messages are obviously put in front of us and reinforced, because they're obviously rewarded to a certain degree. But what's interesting and what Owen spoke about is biologically and physiologically, that's so contrarian to how we've actually operated as men.
Right.
And so what you see is this unconscious struggle between the physiological and biological need that I have to be in community and in connection, but this message that I'm being told to follow it a different way, which creates this internal struggle and limits men's ability to actually create the relationships that nurture and enable them to grow and develop as men.
What a great point that is. And to the men listening to this podcast, you are touching on something that I believe resonates with each one of us. We have a strong desire, a core need for community and for connection. But, oftentimes what society says a man should be, or the models we have growing up that you were saying, we look at our fathers, we have models. What we witness becomes kind of our psychic template about how relationships should work and what a man looks like. And we get confused. And there's a lot of confusion in manhood. Our dads doing the best they could with what they had. And we get to come into life now pursuing that connection and pursuing that community. With every man, I can see it being something where you're really trying to integrate some really good tools around that. And I want to get into that in just a moment. Let me ask one more question in the 2-minute drill here. When we talk about masculinity, and Lucas, you just kind of hinted towards that, what is masculinity at its very best? It's got a bad rap right now. What's that? What is it at its very best?
At its very best is a man's ability to create safety for himself and others, and to know the depth and strength of his power and to know when to use that and when not to use that.
Really good.
When to create boundaries and how to allow boundaries to erode for the purposes of serving himself and others. At the same time, what I think is very critical and probably one of the biggest misperceptions about every man is, all that being said, I don't have a definition for masculinity and I don't have a definition for toxic masculinity, because it would be very arrogant and irresponsible to assume that myself, Owen, or anybody else gets to decide what any man's definition of his own masculinity is. Okay. Every man provides the arena and the environment for self-exploration and discovery so that every man can come to the conclusion of what his own definition is of masculinity for himself.
Yeah, in fact, you guys talk about how the answers are within the man themselves, and the task is to be able to tap into, make it safe enough, like Owen was saying earlier, and you're reinforcing. If we can make it safe enough, that discovery can emerge organically, and that gets to be discovered and incorporated in a way because it's already there. But most men don't know how to kind of tap down into that. And I think that's what you guys do really, really well. In terms of coming into becoming more introspective, what do you find being some of the biggest roadblocks that men experience around being introspective and sharing with each other? What are those roadblocks?
Oh, I think a big one that we all know of is the cultural one of what it is to be a man that we're touching on. And then the other one is that we really didn't have a model or how to be authentic or connected or emotional, whatever descriptive word you want to use about, you know, how to do that as a man. And I think in part because we've grown up in a society, and it's no conspiracy, but at least since the Industrial Revolution, men have been at work, so women have been raising us. Our teachers have been primarily women, and now our therapists are primarily women. So,
exactly. So
it, by default, that's sort of melted into what it is for a man to be emotional. And so what we find is guys get into our trainings or groups and they start interacting and witnessing other men at their same level struggling, but also co-creating, you know, their own experience of masculinity and connection and emotionality. They start to hone what it is for them, but it's all in consort with relationship with other men. And so what we see for most guys, 6 months to a year of being in one of our everyman groups is their partners are saying, honey, I think it's time for your group, because they see right. It's the best investment for their relationship, because these guys are getting skills that they never could get in all the ways that they had provided to them before, including their partners, who are very good at, you know, telling us how what we're doing right or wrong, but they're not as good at helping us get that last 20% that really locks in that kind of connection that we want with others.
We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor.
Continuing education is both a requirement and a learning opportunity, but finding the right CE provider can be challenging. AATBS, a Triad company, offers continuing education for psychologists, social workers, marriage and family therapists, counselors, and behavior analysts. CE courses are available both individually and as part of our new All Access Pass. All Access Pass provides a library of over 250 unique courses. That's more than 800 hours of CEs, with new courses being added every month. As a special offer, Behavioral Health Today listeners can save 15% on CE purchases. Visit us at aatbs.com/BHT and enter promo code BHT15 during checkout. That's aatbs.com/BHT. Check out our library and check off your CE requirements today.
I love that. I love you tapping back into the history for men back in, you know, the Industrial Revolution, the impact of the wars that men have gone through, how they come back home, how they're modeling at that time. Those are all influential in how even men today, kind of this trickle-down effect, this generational legacy that gets passed down in terms of manhood and how it's being affected. I found, too, that, you know, most men, one of our greatest fears is to be seen as incompetent, not knowing how to do something. And it's not that we're not willing to do it. We'll go fight wars and we'll go fight a battle and we'll go, you know, save the girl and slay the dragon. We'll do all of those things. But to open up there's something inherently vulnerable and fearful in that. And if there's not a model to do it, that fear of incompetence really puts kind of a big roadblock up, doesn't it? That I'm hearing you say that if we can just get men to start talking with men, sometimes it kind of takes one to know one, doesn't it, in a group. And once we begin to open up, we see the universality of that. There's other people like us, and we begin to kind of normalize it. Like what you said, Owen, I'm not all that much different from the other guys in the room, and there's something very safe about that.
And I think that goes to the core of what we practice at Every Man is what we call social health. You know, we inherently, as human beings, have a capacity to care for ourselves and others. We've been doing that for thousands of years. In pre-industrial revolution, we came together in circles and in groups and in tribes, and wisdom was passed on. Healing was exchanged. The nutrient of connection was cultivated and absorbed. And that provided healing and growth for us. Yes. We have that instinctively within ourselves, but we don't have the training and the tools, and we don't have the arena to practice social health. You know, part of what Every Man is about is actually creating a new model.
Yeah.
And from my standpoint, it's a preventative care model, because men tend to only do things when things have already blown up.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's like, how do we get ahead of that? How do we start to practice social health at real scale?
Yeah.
Really core.
I love that idea of getting out in front of it, that preventative model of your primary care. It's getting out in front of it before it even happens. And I know that your focus in helping men discover what it means to really be fulfilled, Lucas, you were talking about that in your own life, and that was kind of what led you and caused you to lean into this exploration within yourself. And I know you're wanting to help men tap into their authentic self and to master the emotions as part of that process. And trusting, and I love this piece that you keep emphasizing, that the answers are within them, and that with help and support of other men, they can tap into these with a new clarity. And to attain these, as I was learning more about your group, Every Man has some fundamentals in place with the goal of helping men express their needs without feeling overwhelmed, discovering what excites them. You help men create a plan and take action steps towards those areas that are important to them. You help men learn to master their emotions and transform their relationships. And you help them find purpose and start living it fully. Those are some very cool fundamentals that we don't get taught as men, and we don't have a natural exposure to. But I love these fundamentals being part of it. What I love to hear from you guys is describe some of the exercises, maybe just a couple exercises that you take men through to experience these fundamentals kind of coming alive in their lives.
One of the ones that we pretty much use at all our meetings and events is we start the meeting with somatic mindfulness. One of the companies I used to have was mindfulness-based stress reduction. And one of the first companies in the country to do that. And I really saw the power of when we slow down and we get in our body, get in the moment and get connected to our emotions too, everything else after is a lot easier. So we do that just to be ultimately more efficient in that event, but also to help create that neural pathway in these guys where they start having some body awareness. Because one is, you know, Graham, that sets up emotional awareness and it helps them train themselves in their own ability to downregulate the stress response. Yeah. Because to the extent that we're in stress or survival, we will not be connected. We cannot create, you know, we're oriented towards surviving and we're hardwired to survive. And that second instinct connection gets downregulated. But as we get more connected to our bodies, slow down our physiology, we naturally upregulate the need, the ability, and the skill of connection. So we start with.
Before the show, you and I were talking about the connection, kind of mind-body connection. That sounds a little, you know, cliche-ish, but the idea that we can tap into our bodies for really that within work and slow it down. We know that trauma stays locked in the body and we get hijacked. And you talked about kind of how one can get sabotaged emotionally. And we know that when we get triggered, our brain literally is lighting up. We know that MRI studies show us that. And when we're lit up and we're kind of hijacked in that way, we are not our best selves. In fact, we know that when our brain lights up, there are some really important brain functions that actually kind of go offline because we're in that fight or flight state. We're looking at the world through a straw, and we're not seeing all the other information around it. But the idea that we can kind of slow it down, make it safe, soothe ourselves, it really opens things up, doesn't it? That's one of the exercises then. Give me another exercise.
Well, out of that, we created what we call the ROC formula, R-O-C. So the R is to relax, but you slow down to relax. So we get guys there, and then we open them up to be vulnerable. Okay. You're vulnerable to their own experience, but then vulnerable and receptive or empathetic to other people's experiences. And then from there, we work with them, you know, training them and then really training each other on how to reach out from that place of connection to self and vulnerability to someone else. So it starts to go into action. And so as they might be feeling the fear, they're taking a risk. And so it's a different kind of sympathetic response, a stress response, to really be taking action and not be in that free state where you're still aroused, but you're frozen and you're not doing anything.
Yeah, it's really good. Really good.
And to take that a step further, please. You know, one of the core practices as well is, you know, men's groups have been around for a long time. Every man group's not so long, but every man groups are distinctive in how we practice. Yes, we are a group of men, but there is a core, you know, as Owen's talking about, a set of skills that are being cultivated and developed. There's, you know, a guided curriculum which men can follow, which provides structure so that the time spent together is efficient. But beyond that, these are peer-led groups. And
yes,
peer-led groups are very, very important for men. And I'll never forget, you know, in my experience and time working with Owen, you know, men have a natural tendency to rebel against authority. So when we introduce a hierarchy, a top down, men will instinctively rebel against that authority, and they won't take ownership of the experience. As a peer-led group, we have agency. We have agency over our own presence and commitment to the group. And the group has agency in terms of its the collective responsibility for the group, which is a very different model than this sort of top-down, I'm going to tell you what to do. And what you see is men don't have that opportunity to practice that sense of agency in our everyday lives. You know, nor do we have the opportunity to practice relating to one another in this way. You know, traditional therapeutic environments are powerful. And one of the things I'm most proud of about what we do is the number of men that go to therapy, you know, as a result of every man. But at the same time, there has to be an environment where I can go and practice these skills amongst my peers so that I can then apply them in my everyday life.
I really like that idea that the power differential is not hierarchical in any way. In fact, it's peer driven. And that model goes back to what we started with today about how it's about authenticity. It's about a congruence where we're all doing what we're asking each other to do first. We're leaning in first. And then how that builds more and more of that trust. As I was reading some things and listening to some things about you guys, and I love how you talk about leveraging the knowledge and the experience of every man in your everyman group that attends the group, and believing that as they do, some real magic can happen. What are some of the magic that you see emerge within these men's lives when they come together?
One of the common things is, and I've had it happen with me, you know, we hold a lot of shame in ourselves.
Yeah, we do.
And we lock them in our closets. And then occasionally, like in their groups, you know, a guy will open up his closet and reveal something he's very ashamed of.
Yeah.
And our belief or our experience is, you know, if I reveal that, I'm going to be shamed some more, because that's what guys do. And this is what culture does. But inevitably in our trainings and our everyman groups is the guy's honored, which is the antidote to shame.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Brené Brown talks about that. Brené Brown talks about the antidote to shame is actually vulnerability. And what you're talking about is we bring that vulnerability together. And there's an honoring process as a corrective emotional experience rather than the normal shame that they've either experienced or anticipate. Yeah, really good. Really good.
I think the one thing that I also see men, you know, and I just know this from my own experience, is just a maturation, just a basic normal maturation and a clear path of growth and development as a human, and then the benefits that come with that, you know, kind of all areas of our life start to get better when we start to actually learn how to nurture our ability to actually grow up. I mean, it's not, I guess it's magic because it's so contrarian to everything that happens in our world, but it's not that surprising in reality.
Yeah. No, what you're naming though here is men want to grow up. Men want to be in community with other people. Men want to have a sense of confidence and competence in themselves. They strive for these things. They want to love their families. They want to be effective in their families. They want to be effective in their communities and in positions of leadership. They so want this. It's part of, like you were saying earlier, it's kind of how we're wired. We want to contribute. We want to make a difference. And sometimes not having an awareness of ourselves or some of the shame or things that we feel kind of keep us small. And you guys are talking about helping people reach their potential and to bring that potential into their lives in some very, very effective ways. And actually, I want to talk. I know we're kind of winding down for today, but I want you guys both, if you would, to say a word to two groups of males that could be listening to our podcast today. The first group of males is to the young boys, soon to be men someday. Give them an encouraging word about doing right things now to become a real man later.
I think one of the first things I would say, and I wish someone said to me, was not only go out there and be willing to make mistakes, but based a lot of your learning on your experience and be present with your experience as you're having it. And what that means is feel it emotionally, feel it physically, and be willing to show that experience non-verbally and verbally to others. So don't keep creating these emotional silos. Keep stretching your emotional and connection envelope by putting yourself into situations that emotionally challenge you to grow. And don't think you have to do it alone. And that was a problem that I had. And I think as a young man that we tend to have is that we have to know all this and do it all on our own.
Yes. That is an expectation, isn't it? That we're supposed to know this, like we're wired with it or born with it. We don't. And what you're talking about is that these things are skill sets. These are things that we can learn that we if we haven't been taught. These are attainable. Therein lies the hope, ultimately, that these can be learned and incorporated in one's life. Lucas, you have a word for the young boys out there? These young men coming up?
I always say, do the things that scare you the most. It's amazing how our unconscious keeps us safe and limits us from growing. You know, it's our basic fight or flight, right? We keep ourselves safe, you know, because the things that we need to do to grow are scary.
Yes.
And, you know, and I see that in our groups. If we default, we will oftentimes want to go to a group that looks like more like people like us and that may not challenge us as much as we thought, because it's inherently part of our unconscious. It keeps us safe. But like, it's okay to be afraid. It's okay to do scary things.
Yes.
It will help us grow and take that risk.
The safe spaces of today are nice, but nothing grows there. And what you're talking about is if we can lean into these things as men together, we get to create that space with all the things you're talking about today where growth can really be experienced and men want to grow. Like you're saying, men want to mature and you guys give them kind of the circle to do that. So in the same vein, another group of males, as you look at our nation today and all that's going on, we know that men play an essential and cornerstone role. What word of inspiration or empowerment and challenge do you have for the men listening in that can impact their lives and their leadership in their work settings, their families, and their communities? Give them a word as well.
I would say emotional integrity. Just like we said with safety and connection, everyone's talking about integrity, but you really can't have integrity unless you have it with yourself, your own emotional integrity and honesty. Yeah. And often I'll say to guys, you know, ask for what you want. I mean, really want. And this is what Lucas is saying. Take that risk and be honest with yourself and be vulnerable, knowing that you might not get what you want. And, you know, with that, be willing to put down your mask.
Yeah. Love that. Lucas, give a word out to the men.
I would say, to the same vein as really Owen, you know, emotional authenticity, but at the same time, the way of the past doesn't have to be the way of the present or the future. We are being given, especially our world today, we are being given an opportunity to construct a new model around how we get to show up in the world, how we get to relate to others that better serves us. And so let go of how you thought it was supposed to be so that you can allow yourself to experience what is happening right now.
Yeah. And therein lies the hope that we're not defined solely by our past, that we get to be the architects of where we go forward and really including other men in our lives to do so. So I love those words and I appreciate them to both groups of males, our young men coming up that we so want to influence and the men that are out there right now working to do right things. So that's really good. Hey, as we near the end of our program, what types of programs does every man offer for men who could be considering becoming a part of this? And is there a recommended maybe starting point for men to enter into this community?
Yeah, it's a great question. Every man, we offer tools, resources, training, and community for men. We have a couple of sort of marquee programs where guys can start. One is our online fundamentals training program, which is a 6-week long online program. We're not doing retreats right now, but we are bringing those back. Our sort of starting point is our open source retreat. So check the website for those. Those are great places to start. Or men can just dive right in and become a member of the Everyman community. That provides them the ability to join a weekly peer-led Everyman group that's supported by our curriculum and all the tools and technology, as well as attend all of our daily drop-in groups. So we have a training and certification program that men go through, and then those same men actually facilitate groups for us every single day online on our platform. And then we also have a number of free groups that we offer, as well as our global community calls that can all be accessed from the website.
Fantastic. Hey, if you would give our listeners the addresses on how to get in touch with you guys online.
Everyman.com, EveryMan.com. That's one E, EveryMan, everyman.com.
Very good. Very good. Well, Owen, Lucas, I want to thank you for being with us today. And you guys are doing some great work. And I know men are benefiting from it. And men need connecting points. We need other men to grow and certainly appreciate and admire the work you guys are doing. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Graham.
Thank you, Graham.
Been great to have you with us. And to our listeners, we want to thank you as well. We so appreciate you joining in, and we'll look forward to seeing you next time on Triad's Behavioral Health Today.
We appreciate all the support from our community, and if you like our show, one of the best ways you can support it is by giving us a 5-star rating and leaving a review. Behavioral Health Today is a podcast part of the Triad Network, all rights reserved.